Blog Talk Radio.
Out of the tree.
And this has been a presentation of Sisters of Plum.
You came along and everything started in to hum.
Tune in next time, and remember,
the best is yet to come.
Oh yes, no matter how you slice it or dice it, the best is yet to come. And that is my story, and I'm sticking to it. Happy Monday, April the 21st. I am Michelle Wright, co-host of today's Sisters with Ink, The Best is Yet to Come, Blog Talk Radio Show. And I truly hope that each of you have had a wonderful and most blessed Happy Easter on yesterday. And let me send a Best is Yet to Come shout out of love and appreciation to Sisters with Ink host and producer, Luella Hill Dudley, as well as all of the beautiful and most distinguished members of Sisters with Ink. And a special April showers of love to each of you, our beloved listeners, for also joining us today for this month's The Best is Yet to Come show. The theme for today is You Can If You Think You Can. And this is most fitting and most appropriate theme for today, because if you think about the fact that in this day and time, people are getting weary, becoming discouraged, and giving up in an alarming rate. And as such, we want to make sure that we present the opportunity to inspire, encourage, and empower them that they can move beyond the impossible to achieve the possible, if only they can just hold on and believe that they can if they think that they can. And this is why I love the scripture, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And today's show is dedicated to holding on and being strong through the power of not only God, but the pen, words, and poetry. Now, the words, you can if you think you can, should be inspirational and empowering to all of us. I know that they are with me. And with April officially being National Poetry Month, I can't help but reflect back to one of my favorite poems that I learned for the first time in the sixth grade, and this has been over 35 years ago. And it's ironically also titled, You Can If You Think You Can. And it goes, if you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win, but you think you can't, it's almost a cinch, you won't. If you think you lose, you lost, for out in the world we find. Success begins with a fellow's will, it's all in a state of mind. If you think you outclass, you are. You got to think high to rise. You got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win the prize. Life battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but sooner or later the one who wins is the person who knows they can. And as always, you will not be disappointed and are in for a most wonderful April double treat with today's two outstanding guests. We have author, writer, and poetess Aquila M. Lewis of Oakland, California, and poet and author Jeffrey A. Sanders of Boston, Massachusetts. Today's show theme, again, is You Can If You Think You Can, and today's guests are a testament to overcoming obstacles in spite of the challenges. So our first guest today is author and publisher Miss Aquila M. Lewis. Aquila, welcome to today's show, and what a pleasure it is having you as our guest.
Thank you so much. It is an honor to be here on the show with you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I feel the love and the energy. And as you know, in February, we celebrated Black History Month. And in March, we celebrated Women History Month. And now in April, we have not just one thing to celebrate, but several, because the month of April has been designated It's not only National History, I mean, Poetry Month, but National Child Abuse and Sexual Violence Month as well. And Aquila, I know your schedule is fully booked throughout the month of April in recognition of both these events. And as such, we are simply honored to have you on the show. But if you think about the theme, you can if you think you can. I know this is a testament to who you are. So let's start with, who is Aquila M. Lewis?
Great. Thank you once again for letting me be able to be a part of the show. February, March, and April is high-packed with so many different opportunities, events, and just getting to know people. For me, I'm really honored to be able to participate in all of these. Just want to make a correction. April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month and Sexual Assault Awareness Month. I just wanted to go back and make sure the research was right. And I am a testament to both of those categories. I am a survivor of child sexual abuse, and I also suffered assaults and rape and a whole lot of different sexual violences against myself just growing up into adulthood. And so I was trying to figure out, who is Aquila Lewis, Aquila M. Lewis, and why did I have to go through all these different challenges? And I feel like the reason why I have is so I can be able to help someone else who has been through that and don't have an outlet or a way of escape. And I kind of feel like I can be that for others, since I have been through it, and I still remember the different things that I've been through, but I'm able to help others. And you're saying you think you can. If you think you can, I really didn't think that was for me, because there are times when I feel like I couldn't continue to take the abuse. I couldn't continue to take the disrespect that men and the world has put upon myself. But because of my faith in God, I know that is one of the reasons why I was able to be who I am. And also, the written and the spoken word has been my outlet. The performance world in general has been my outlet for me to be able to heal. So Aquila is evolving into something wonderful.
Wow, you are wonderful, and that's a testament that can definitely help inspire and empower our listeners. So, again, we're just so happy to have you. And I have no doubt poetry has been a resource of strength in your life. And I know that you're from the Bay Area, and you have actually been writing poetry since you were in high school. And actually, as a longstanding poetess, can you tell our listeners a little bit about National Poetry Month? What does this mean to you? And can you actually share one of your own poems with our listeners?
Sure, I could do that. I didn't know about National Poetry Month until actually last year. And I had to do the research to find out what it is and why everybody's so excited about it. So when I did the research, I found out that National Poetry Month began in 1996 through the Academy of American of Poets. And it's just basically a month that publishers, bookstore owners promote poetry, educators and teachers, they create curriculum on literary greats and certain aspects of poetry. And then there's numerous reading series and open mics. They're packed with people trying to hear what's going on in the literary world. And it's to celebrate and honor the written and the spoken word of both people who are alive and who have passed on. And there's also National Poetry Writing Month, which is a lot of people consider this a part of the same month, where poets and people who are writers, they write a poem a day in honor of National Poetry Month. And when I did the further research, I also saw that people all over the world, they are celebrating poetry. There's National Poetry Days, there's World Poetry Day. Just about everywhere in the world, they're just really honored about this art form. And so I am a part of the National Poetry Writing Month, where I write a poem a day. And it's a great opportunity for writers, I think, to be able to really challenge themselves to write on a particular topic or whatever they're feeling, and you write it a poem a day until the end of April. So I have a poem that is called Somebody's Baby, Nobody's Victim, and it is in honor of Nina Simone, who was one of the greats, and I believe, in the music world. And there's a visual artist that asked me to write a poem based upon his visual depiction of her song for women. So this is Somebody's Baby, Nobody's Victim. For the Aunt Sarahs and the Harriets, for the Sophonias and the Bridgets, for the Sweet Things and the Miss Things, for Peaches, for all those who remember the pain and the hurt it brings, for Nina. She remembers four hearts beating, but needing more. What is on their mind? Who are they? How'd they come to be? Wandering from house to house, wandering, getting in cars, wandering, sucking on drinks and bars, still questioning, whose child am I? With tears in her eyes leaking, overflowing as the streams, the high priestess sits in between, pondering the darkness and the light. And in her mind, she remembers. She remembers their pain. She embodies their pain. See, she's been torn apart, ripped limb from limb. She's dragging the strong enough to endure the pain. And she takes it again and again, stuck between worlds, with no way out, stuck with so much pain. Born in shame and doubt, with no one to take the blame. Forced to live, still holding on to bitterness and shame, still living, but wanting to be reborn. She's no stereotype or a fragment of what one imagines to be, or is she? And then maybe one day, when they're all free, their frowns will turn to smiles. Maybe all she needs is someone to whisper her ear, "Hush, little baby. Don't you cry. You are important to me. I need you to survive. You're somebody's baby, nobody's victim. I will take you as mine. Awaken. Come back alive again."
Wow. I love that. Somebody's baby and nobody's victim. You are definitely a most multi-talented artist. And I know that you have really explored everything from composing to dancing to singing to modeling to journalism alongside your poetry, which appears to be towards the top of that list. Can you elaborate for our listeners what poetry means to you and how it has impacted your life?
Sure. Be honest. Poetry, I'm not sure if poetry is at the top of the list. I know that the arts in general, I'm just really overwhelmed and excited to be gifted with all these different talents. But poetry, I think I was telling somebody the other day that poetry and the performing arts itself saved my life because I wasn't able to cope with the different things that I've been through. And there was no one in my family that I could turn to for advice or for mentorship. And just trusting people in general was hard. So I always had a journal. I always wrote down different things that I was going through and feeling, and it kind of seemed like that was my friend. So poetry is really what has been there to help guide me and save my life and help me be able to be a mentor for other people who have been through either what I've been through or just have been through some sort of hurt. And I just kind of feel like writing kind of took the hurt away. And, I hope I'll be able to continue to write this, you know, until the end for me.
Well, I love your work. I've had the opportunity to listen to several pieces, and I would like to take this opportunity to pause and actually share one of your pieces with our listeners, and it's titled Slowly Dying and Commentary Loving the Best
when
of Me.
When you look at me, what do you see? Do you see me? I mean, really see me? The things that quench my thirst, stir up passions, soothe the hurt, See that I work so hard to please you and forget that I need to love and care about me. Why do I continue to long after and love men unworthy and deserving of me? That I care how you feel, that I hurt you, that we don't talk and mend our relationship into something real? When you look at me, what do you see? Do you see that I'm trying to make things right? Do you see that I'm trying to seek my own healing, go to the light? Do you see that you keep pushing me out? I try to figure out why my heart hurts. It wants to burst out of me and long for the day of redemption, steadfast, trusting in God, longing for a love that lasts. Do you see that I keep trying and trying to get you to notice me, to see me, to see that I still love you and need you to help me make it through the dark and lonely days and nights? Does your heart beat faster when I look into your eyes? Can you see our name written in the skies? Your words are like music to my ears, the perfect beat to our everlasting song, a safe haven, quieting the storm, and there's a war raging inside me, but it's slowly dying. He used to speak to me, but he doesn't speak anymore. The music doesn't play, the birds don't sing, I'm slowly dying. Someday, I will live again. It began with curiosity. This wonderful being was unlike anyone I'd ever seen. His words were like music to my ears. His walk demanded honor and respect, reflecting that of a prince or king. He was beautiful, intelligent, wise, and passionate about everything. I liked him a lot. Every time he spoke, my heart melted and I felt the earth move. He made something stir inside me, a curiosity to know more about the things that he felt and believed in so strongly. He made me believe that the world was more than round, that there was so much to discover and explore. I had dreamed about him before meeting him, and then he spoke to me. I felt his energy all around me and vibrating through me. I could feel him and hear him calling me, and I wanted to answer but didn't know how. His eyes, intense, hiding behind pools of excellence, revealing the window to his soul. His touch, his kiss, his passion was exactly what I wanted, but the relationship ended before it even began. I dreamed about him, and when he appeared before me, I froze. I was lost in a trance. My mind was stuck without any way of being freed. I wrestled with images from my past, which in return clouded my judgment. I had built my world around him and on what could have been. Words without any direction or end spit out of my mouth and stung like vipers, and I saw it in his eyes. Hurt, disbelief, shock, anger, and disgust. And then it happened. I came up with my own conclusions of what I thought he wanted instead of asking. I thought he was like all the other men who hurt me both physically and emotionally. I thought he expected me to be easy and explore lustful passions with no questions asked or answered. And so, we went our separate ways in regret, confusion, and hurt. When I tried to apologize, he didn't want to hear it. I felt myself fall apart, and I felt broken, lost, hurt, ashamed, scared, guilty, self-conscious, insecure, and depressed. I was really good at hiding it, though, until I couldn't hide it anymore and asked for help. I received counseling and attended church services, sister circle groups, and One Life Institute retreats, where I learned to love myself all over again. All relationships need just the right amount of tender love and care for it to work. In order for healthy relationships to work, there should be humility, patience, commitment, balance, trust, and love. One whole plus one whole equals two whole people coming together. I am learning to love the healthy me, which is balanced and whole, so I can dance with another whole healthy person as we create life from our best selves and not dance the dance that is infused with wounds and dysfunction. I'm discovering a new me and finding joy and peace in the things that make me happy, redeveloping my skills and talents, setting boundaries and defining what a healthy relationship looks like for me. I'm providing answers to my questions like, what are my needs, my hopes, my wishes, and dreams? I am redefining myself, rewriting my past, getting ready for a fulfilled future, and finding my true identity in God deep within as I feel life come back into my being and turning into something more beautiful than I was before. I can now wake up in the morning feeling like I have a sacred soul purpose, and it's not because of what anyone said or did.
Wow, I love this poem, and I love the way you talk about the need to love and care about you and the fact that you can live again, you know, in spite of being broken, lost, hurt, ashamed, scared, guilty, self-conscious, insecure, and depressed. You also note in this poem that God sees the best in us, but we know that we must also see the best in ourselves. And this directly correlates to today's theme, you can if you think you can. And Aquila, what does you can if you think you can means to you as you look deep within to find life coming back into your being and turning into something more beautiful than before?
I'm just trying to compose myself. I just want to go back real quick. I'll answer your question, but I want to go back to the commentary. I wrote that commentary when I was an apprentice, a student, within the KPFA. It's a First Voice Media apprenticeship program, and one of our class assignments, we had to create a commentary. And that commentary, man, that just talked about everything that I was going through at the time. This was in 2012, and I was talking about something that happened in 2010, someone that I cared about, I loved, and I didn't tell him because I had all these different things from my past that were coming up at the same time. And I was just really going through a lot. So you can if you think you can. Like I said, I really didn't think I could be able to overcome the things that I was going through. And I just had to try. I just had to try to figure out how I can get past the hurt, how I can get past all these different things from the past that just kept on coming up. And I overheard someone say this, that once you're abused or violated, it never really completely is out of your system, because it's like stuck in between your pores. It isn't your mind has a memory bank that continues to file things. And so sometimes for me, and this is what happened with me, it was a situation that kind of triggered things from my past. And so I'm still trying to figure out what it means. You can if you think you can. All I know is that if I try to do everything I can to make myself feel good in the inside, it doesn't matter what I look like on the outside. I kind of feel like it doesn't matter. As long as I'm feeling good inside and I'm able to express it, that's really what helps, and that's really what matters, because if I ever do decide to have children or a family, I need to be able to be strong mentally, strong physically, strong emotionally, spiritually. That's kind of how I see it. And so I'm looking deep within, trying to go back and heal those different parts of me that were violated. And so that's how I kind of feel like I'm turning into something more beautiful than I was before. I never thought I was beautiful until I actually made that decision that I'm going to heal myself so I can also be there for my future generations. So that's what it's all about.
Well, you are beautiful, and one of my favorite parts of that poem is when you say, I am discovering a new me and finding a joy and peace in the things that make me happy. I am redefining myself and rewriting my past, getting ready for a fulfilled future and finding my true identity in God deep within as I felt life come back into my being and turning into something more beautiful than before. And so, as I mentioned earlier, and you did correct me, tell me again, April is also, I mentioned National Child Abuse Awareness.
Right.
Exactly.
It's National Child Abuse Prevention Month and Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Okay. And I know that your poetry is a representation of some of the experiences and traumas that you have experiencing in your childhood. You mentioned childhood sexual abuse, adult rape, sexual assault. Can you elaborate on how you have used poetry to help overcome these issues? And then once you share that with us, we want to share one of your poems, Breathe and Live Again, as it speaks to not only pain, but healing.
Sure. 2010 is kind of like my rebirth. So different people have, you know, their actual birthday, but I have another rebirth day or month, year that I have really I'm hoping that I'll never forget this. October 22nd, 1978 is my actual birthday, on October 20th, 2010, I decided that I wanted to write something in honor of myself, in honor of people who have birthdays in Libra. I'm a Libra Scorpio. And so I wanted to, so I decided to write some poetry that was based upon me and my life. And as I was writing this poem, I actually spoke in front of people, like did the spoken word part of it, reciting the poem in front of people. I felt the change. I felt myself kind of like be baptized or dipped into something, like, and I felt like I became a whole new person. And I'm all about rewriting my future, rewriting my future, because my past was, full of just trying to keep me down. And I want to be someone that is strong and built upon a great future. And so, like I said before, I never thought I was beautiful until I actually started going back and healing myself and trying to figure out, why I've been through what I've been through. I use poetry because, I don't know, I kind of feel like poetry is something that sometimes people hide behind poetry, but for others, it's really a way to be able to share who you are, that get the innermost thoughts out on paper, or you're performing it in front of folks that either you know or you don't know. And for me, I was able to kind of like perform. It's kind of like a way of performance. And poetry has helped me be able to overcome the issues that I've been through. And, most of these issues were at the hands of other people that I cared about and loved. And so I had to rewrite what I thought love was about as well. So it's just basically something. My life was kind of a path. The path was started and it was created, but it wasn't the path that I think I need to be on. And so I rewrote it.
I love that. And in essence, you're able to breathe and live again. And I want to take a moment and share Breathe and Live Again with our listeners.
Breathe and live again. For mommy, I see your tears, feel your fears. Your soul is crying to live past the pain. I give you permission to breathe and live again. Tears stained enduring the abuse again and again. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, but stay inside these walls of protection. I know I'm just a child, but I was meant to watch over you. Wrap my eagle's wings around you. Let me be your shelter from the storm. Let me live through you, keep you safe from harm. Don't be alarmed or hide in shame from the insane madness. You aren't the one to blame. I still hear your moans and cries to God. Lord, help. I know I'm just a child, but you sent me. Things will never be the same. Are you ready for this new life? Can you dream of this new life? The air is warm, comforting. For the first time in years, I can finally hear the birds sing.
Wow, you are definitely talented, and that speaks so much volume. Your work, Aquila, is so impactful. I know, in addition to your poetry, you're creating children books focused on issues in relation to social justice in the community, as well as serving as the entertainment chair for the annual Empowering Women of Color Conference at UC Berkeley. But how can our listeners who are interested in learning and reading more about you and your work contact you?
Well, I am a major fan of social media. I have a Facebook page, and I have the actual Facebook page and my artist page that's also part of Facebook. So my name is Aquila, A-Q-U-E-I-L-A, my middle initial M. My last name is Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. You can search for me in that way. Also, if the listeners are interested in talking more further, if they contact you, Michelle, you can also give them my email address. I'm really open to talk to folks who have either been through things that I've been through or just want to learn how they can go see me do some workshops or also poetry readings.
Wow. Well, we will make sure that we get your information on the Sisters with Ink Facebook page. So if anybody wants to contact you, they can. And let me thank you again for being on our show. It has truly, truly, truly been a blessing.
Real quick before you go, I'm also in a documentary called You and Me and the Fruit Trees, where I am being followed by a friend of mine who's also a film director. It's myself and two other people who are followed and talk about their experiences with child sexual abuse. As an adult, they talk about these experiences. So I can also give that information as well.
Please do. And when is this documentary going to be completed? Because we would love to have you back on our show to talk about that.
Well, you know, I actually don't have the completion date, but when that does happen, I will most definitely let you know.
We will be honored. Any other additional information you'd like to share?
I just want to tell the listeners that you are beautiful. You were created for a specific reason, at a specific time, and it's okay to rewrite your story if you don't feel like your start was the start that you wanted and you think you should have. And I'm enjoying my life, and that is really what it's all about. You have to enjoy yourself, enjoy your life, so that you can be able to be a testimony for others. So just enjoy you.
I think that would be a good book for you to write, rewrite. thank you again and again. That was author, writer, and poetess Aquila M. Lewis of Oakland, California, who currently serves as the entertainment chair for the annual Woman of Color Conference at UC Berkeley. And now it gives me extreme pleasure to welcome our next guest, Mr. Jeffrey A. Sanders of Boston, Massachusetts, who's also a poet and the author of chapters, Knowledge Springs from Mental Strength Through Poetry. So, Jeffrey, it's so nice to have you all the way from Boston, Massachusetts. Also known as Greentown. How are you?
I'm fine. I am doing beautiful. Such a beautiful day in Boston right now, you know, especially after we done got over all of the cold and snow and the rain, you know, it's summer is finally coming in, the trees are starting to bloom.
Wow. Well, it's beautiful in Arkansas, too, and I have no doubt, I know it has to be beautiful in California, but I'm curious. Now, my nickname is Butterbean, and I love beans. Why is Boston known as the Bean Town?
Wow. Boston, Massachusetts, you know, is the capital of Massachusetts. And Massachusetts, Boston is called by many, 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 many different names. And its original name was City on the Hill, which I think John Winthrop, who was the governor then of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, when he came here and he became the mayor, he wanted to create a biblical city, which was called City on the Hill, and actually it refers to the original three hills of Boston. And, you know, and in turn, it was shortened to the hub because of the solar system. And I think when they were fighting for freedom. freedom and liberty, they call the city the cradle of liberty, which is derived from the American Revolution. But the Beantown refers to, the reason why it's called Beantown is because of the dishes that they made with baked beans. And you know, it was back in the colonial days, the favorite food was beans and baked in molasses. And I guess that's why they call it Beantown. You know, the city holds that distinction of that, even though it's not the same dish anymore. You know, seafood is pretty much the same dish here now because it's so, seafood here is really, really cheap here. So that's how Beantown got its name.
Well, whether you're talking beans or seafood, it all sounds good to me. But thank you for that explanation. So we know a little bit more now about Beantown. Now tell us a little bit more about who is Jeffrey A. Sanders.
Ooh-wee. You want to hear the short version or you want to hear the long version?
Whatever you feel in.
Okay. Who is Jeffrey Sanders? Jeffrey Sanders is a criminal, a former gangbanger, former drug dealer, street thug, thug angel, paper chaser, who has lived a life on the edge, on the threshold of reckless ignorance. And today I say I'm 360 degrees because I've turned my life around for a better me, a proud father of three college graduate children, one that's graduated from Spelman cum laude, and two others who graduated from, one that graduated from San Diego State with honors and one from Loyola Marymount with honors, and myself, a student working on a degree in mental health and clinical social work. That's Jeffrey.
So I immediately feel I can, if I think I can. So you are living and walking testament as well. I love
yes,
that.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And I'm just, you know, it's a honor to be able to come to the show and express that, you know, and being able to give back, you know, to the communities and to the audience, you know.
Well, and we appreciate that as well. You know, as busy as you are, for you to take time to come on today's show is so important. And as you are aware, April is officially National Poetry Month. And I've been told that you have a unique style of poetry, which focuses upon subjects of personal development and social relevance. And I apologize for putting you on the spot, but can you give us a taste of one of your poems?
Ooh-wee. Yeah, I can do that. I can give you a little taste of Jeffrey. The piece I'm going to do is called Flower. And it goes like this. I fight with my thoughts for social equality, like a flower rising above ground in the struggle. Like their petals, words arrive on the tip of the tongue, verbal. Ideals center around inspiration to right the wrongs, like the flower peeking from the soil to see sunlight, coming into the struggle of life's dimensions. In the metaphors of organic growth, as so the flower, all men live by their truth and stand in need of self-awareness. Like the flower adding color to abandoned houses, I often think of humans as a flower. We spend so much time shying away from everyone. We don't realize how much we are and who we are to enjoy until we fight with our thoughts against injustice to produce freedom, the feeling of awe and reverence. Words give us power beyond human comprehension. And I look out from many avenues of imagination in the eyes of optimistic affirmation and hopes of tilling fertile soil to the rights of the deprived everyone of our beautiful souls. And we need to remember that flowers are never judged on their color or size. You need to allow yourself to break free from the soil and breathe the fresh air and the feel of sunlight, of social right and reform, of equality beaming on your face. In peace.
Wow. I don't think I will ever look at a flower the same again. That was just beautiful. And I know, and thank you so much, Jeffrey, for sharing that with us. I also know that you've served in the Marines and have traveled the world, so I'm sure you have seen all types of beautiful flowers. But do you have a favorite place, and has traveling helped you to creatively write your poems?
Writing, none of the places I've been, well, we could say yeah, because I write a lot of cultural stuff. I write a lot of things on abuse and to see those abuses and stuff in all the different countries, you know, and it behooves me why so many people say they hate the United States, and when they need to travel to other countries and see the laws and the rules that are in place in these other countries, you know, here you'll go to jail for stealing a piece of candy in the United States, and if you go to Saudi Arabia or those Muslim countries, well, then you steal a piece of candy, you might get your hand cut off. You know, it's a whole different standard on the other side of the world. You know, but my most favorite place that I really enjoyed the most, I have a few. Philippines was one of my most favorite places because the black man himself, you're treated like he's supposed to be treated, and then he's treated with dignity, and he's treated like a king, and, you know, and I really enjoyed that country, you know, and I really enjoyed being able to travel around the world and deal with the different cultures, learn how to cook their foods and try to learn some of their languages, you know, and I just enjoyed the opportunity to see other cultures.
Well, you know, whenever you think that you can and you know that you can, you do want to be treated like a king and a queen. And this gets us back to the theme of today's show, the Best Is Yet to Come show. You can if you think you can. And Jeffrey, from your bio, I know that you can relate to this because I was reading your bio where it states that a full and colorful life of ups and downs leads you to a realization that a more spiritual path will serve you better. And since that revelation, you have not put down your pen, that you share your brand of enlightenment almost daily. It concludes by saying that your work reflects real life history, universal wisdom, and spiritual enhancement. This sounded most interesting to me, and can you tell our listeners more and how your background and writing are a testament to you? If you think you can, you can.
Interesting. Well, I actually started writing 6 years ago while I was doing my federal time in the federal penitentiary in Northern California. And by the way, I'm coming up on my 7th anniversary of freedom on Christmas Day. I started writing for the simple fact that I was in a cell that no windows, no sunlight, and started giving up on life. And my life changed so drastically. Being in the hole and reminiscing back on all the things that happened, you know, to me and to my friends. You know, being in the game, in the streets, things happen to you that they give you warning. Your friends die in your arms, and innocent children die, and the things that you do deteriorates the community because your only thoughts is chasing paper at the expense of illegal means, and you simply die. You turn off everything that's moral that's inside of you, and it makes you turn against your own morals, and you become ruthless and an animal until that day when they come to get you and the tables are turned on you and your intuition and your mentality start whooping on you. And when everything else turns against you in the hell that you have created and you have to live in that hell, it makes you want to think about everything that you've done and think about, you know, all the things that you did wrong against God, because the mind, it retains everything. Your brain records everything, and when that time comes, when you're at your lowest point, all that ill-gotten gain, the government takes it and leaves you with nothing, and you're at your lowest point. But writing made me acknowledge all of my wrongs, and it was a turning point for me, you know, being locked in a cell without sunlight. And, you know, when you get to that point where you have to depend on somebody else and you have to pay for dictionaries and pencils and paper to be smuggled in, you know, you start to think about all of the things that you created yourself, and you start writing about them. And as you write about them, you reminisce through them, and you ask yourself, what is it that you can do for you to change your life and send it in another direction for a better purpose and a better good, to help somebody else? And this is what writing does for me. You know, I've been down a lot of roads, and, you know, and I come to realize that the power greater than myself has enlightened me to write and enlighten and educate and return that knowledge that has been passed down to other people in a sense to help other people. And I've come to understand that if you think you can, you can.
Amen.
The barrier is, and the barrier is if you say to yourself, you can't, you won't, and you will not. You have stepped into that role and arena of being defeated. That's the bottom line.
You know, it's amazing, as I heard you talk about trying to sneak in paper, how we so often take reading and writing for granted. You know, sometimes we don't appreciate things in life until we lose it. And your testimony is just so inspiring. You're so talented. And among your other list of talents, I know you're also the author of chapters, Knowledge Springs for Mental Strength Through Poetry. And what is the concept of this book, if you can tell our listeners?
Okay. The book is designed to speak to the woman, not just black woman, per se, but all women who have lost their strength and faith. It speaks to the abused woman. It speaks to the woman who's stuck in unproductive relationships, the codependent woman, to tell all the women that, you know, in order to have growth, you have to continuously build yourself, and you have to continue to educate yourself, and you have to continue to love yourself in order to get that growth. And in some cases, some places in the book, it talks about the black man wanting his respect back and how he wants her, the black woman, to show us how she wants us to come to them with our strength and with the source that birthed us to be united together and stand strong with each other.
Wow, I love that. Something for the women. I think all the women can appreciate that. And to stand strong goes back to having to know who you are and knowing that you can if you think you can. And I'm so appreciative, mm-hmm. again, to have you, Jeffrey, on our show as a testament that you can if you think you can. Can you please tell our listeners how they can learn more about you and your products?
Okay. I do have a second book coming out this year called Chapter 2, The Power of Knowledge. You can find me at Jeffrey Sanders, Jeffrey A. Sanders on Facebook. You can find me at Intellectual Verbal Freedom, Words Breed Verbal Power, Jeffrey Sanders page on Pages, and all of those monikers you can find on Google, or you can Google my name and those pages will come up. My books can be purchased at Inner Child Press on Facebook, Amazon.com, or you can go to JeffreyASandersSenior.YOLOSite.com, and that's where you can find me. I have a numerous number of pages.
So we can find you if you want to. If they really want to find you, they can find you. And again, yes. We can always put your information on Sisters with Ink Facebook page. Jeffrey, any final words of strength and encouragement as it pertains to you can if you think you can?
Now you're going to dig into my mind. You're going to dig deep into my mind now.
Stop there. And also, can you tell us about Brothers with Ink?
Well, I haven't been to Brothers with Ink in a couple of weeks now because I'm actually still in school. We're in the final weeks of this semester, and I haven't been in Brothers with Ink in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but if you want to enjoy some poetry, then that is the place to go, thanks to Sister Luella, who is a friend of mine and a Californian like me. And I really appreciate her attaching me to that group along with Sisters with Ink. You know, so it's a very good place to be. And so let me see. Let me give you something encouraging. We are born of strength in the anatomy of compassion with the value of transformation of a continuum, freeing ourselves of the instigations that keep us trapped in the conceptual incarceration as well as the self-incarceration. We as humans are built to constructively diffuse the backlog of irritations that are hazardous to our well-being. The free will gives us the choice to do or not to do. It's up to each individual to choose to be who they are and choose who they are to become. And I myself have made that conscious decision to become who I strive to become. And if you think you can, then you can. The biggest roadblock to not attaining your goal is the moment you say you can't.
Wow. I tell you, I can already see how you're going to be an invaluable resource and member of Brothers with Ink. And I concur with you that Luella Hill Dudley is just a jewel and an invaluable resource, not only to Brothers with Ink, but to Sisters with Ink, whom I'm a proud member of. Jeffrey, we thank you so much. And much thanks and appreciation to both of our guests today, Ms. Aquila M. Lewis and Mr. Jeffrey A. Sanders, as well as Sisters with Ink host and producer, Ms. Luella Hill Dudley, all of which are walking example that the best is yet to come. And so are you. And with that said, I am author, speaker and success expert, Michelle Wright, and it was indeed an honor serving as your co-host today. And until next time, please continue to spread the love no matter where you're from. And may God bless every one of you, for the best is yet to come. Love you, and God bless.